Hi, everyone, and welcome to Total Celebrity Show. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley. You can go to my website, TotalTrue.net, for more information. Twitter, TotalTrue, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, TotalTrue, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google+, and also on Periscope, at TotalTrue. Monday starts the anniversary week, 6 years in radio, and I continue with all these awesome sports and celebrity stars, and I'm excited to welcome the program NHL legend Bernie Nichols. Bernie, thanks for calling, and how are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. And when you look back at your career, when you first started in hockey, did you think that you were going to attain what you were able to attain in the NHL?
Oh, probably not. You know, I think you're just thrilled to death to have the opportunity to play in the NHL, and like every day is a bonus. And you know, obviously, I felt I was gifted enough to create offense and to be able to generate goals and assists and points, but I probably at the end of the day didn't think I'd end up with the numbers that I ended up with.
So when you first put on skates, did this come really easy to you, hockey, when you first put on skates to play the sport, or was it your top thing you wanted to do when you started?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I started skating when I was 3 years old, and being Canadian, I think people think that most Canadians are born with skates on, which it's pretty close. And you know, you play hockey all day, every day. Even in the summertime, you're playing ball hockey outside. And so hockey, for the most part for me, it came pretty easy.
So it came pretty easy. So did your family know that you were something special early, if you were skating at 3 and then started playing organized hockey at a certain time? Did your family say, well, this guy's going to be really special? Did they have an idea early?
Well, I think it's like anything. If you're playing in a game, no matter if it's peewee, bantam, whatever league you're playing in, if you're kind of the better player on your team and then in that league, then, you know, I would imagine your parents think, well, you know, you may have something special here. And every time you step up to a different level, you're still the better player. And, you know, and then you obviously get to the point where you're in junior hockey and the next step's NHL. And I think at that stage is probably when my parents and probably myself realized that, you know what, I'm, you know, one of the better players in the league here. And the next step is NHL. You're going to get drafted. So then you probably think that you got a good opportunity to make it by then.
But early, you never know. You say that almost every boy has a dream of playing hockey early. And now we're even seeing girls, especially, dream of playing hockey in Canada, it sounds like. It just seems like it's a perfect fit in a lot of ways.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, when everybody thinks Canada, they think hockey. And for every boy in Canada, or most, they all love to play. And you know, I see kids every day. They go out playing, and you know, their dream is to play in the NHL. And, you know, the problem is there's a lot of them that their dream is to be in the NHL, but they just don't have the talent, and chances are good they're not going to make it. But, I mean, they're still playing and having fun and working hard. And, you know, it's okay to have dreams, and it's okay to dream high. And but, you know, unfortunately, there's going to be a lot of kids that aren't going to make it.
When I think about, Bernie, when you talk about the number of kids and the chances of making it in the NHL, I'm sure that ultimately it's not just your talent. There has to be the right people that are training you, the right people that you run into, and right place and right time in the sport, correct? Would you agree in a way?
Well, no. Like, for the most part, I think you can't teach talent.
Right.
Either you have it or you don't. I think you can add to it. You know, you can, you know, coaches. You can have coaches that can take you to another level. But, I mean, you still have to be born with the gift of whatever talent that, you know, you're trying out or trying to do. So I agree with the point that you definitely can have help. But, I mean, like I always said, either have it or you don't, and it's tough. You can't teach someone how to score goals. You can teach people how to work hard, you know, you can work hard, you can be a good checker, but I mean, to be a natural goal scorer, you can't teach someone how to score goals. You can kind of give them ideas, but they just can't see and have the vision that the goal scorers or the gifted players have.
I gotcha. So, but the talent, I guess hard work gets you in one place, but talent
right.
will take you, you'll be discovered
to the
in
top.
Some sort of way in hockey.
That's right.
I think it's different in other sports, Bernie. I think that's good that still you guys are the best players are playing in the NHL. I wouldn't always say that's the same case in the NBA and NFL because of so much of a talent pool and people, you know, with their personal trainers or their specific people or the right connection or being discovered. I guess if you're one of the top superstars, it's the same rules in those other sports. But I guess in hockey, it's good to know, you know, the best talented players play in the NHL. And that's tremendous to say.
Well, you know,
who would you say? Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, you know, football, for example, or even basketball, you see your elite players, right? Like, if you go basketball, for example, Magic Johnson, how he's seen the court. You know, a quarterback in football, you always say great players, Wayne Gretzky, you're great players. The you know, play slows down for them. You know, you can have a talented player that doesn't have vision, doesn't have you know, good hockey sense or good football sense or something. You can have a quarterback that has an arm that can throw, you know, the length of the football field. But when he gets under center, when he goes back, he looks up and he sees, you know, 20 guys in black coming at him. Where a Peyton Manning, a Brady, a great quarterback, they go back and it slows down for them. You know, they see the field. Great hockey players see the ice. They see players.
Right.
The game slows down for them. And I know, you know, sports people have heard that before, where the play slows down for great athletes, great people that have great vision. And, you know, there's other people, like I say, that can have a tremendous amount of talent, but they don't see the ice. They don't see the football field as well as other players.
So when you're talking about, again, the game slowing down for you, that's very interesting.
Yes.
You were able to slow it down. So you had that. When did you see that you were able to do that? That you had that ability. You were able to do that.
Well, I think, you know, that's one of the better qualities that I had as a player. I had great vision. You know, I even go out with guys, even when I was working with the Kings in 2012, they're still great players that don't see the ice as good as others. You know, like,
right.
that's absolutely a gift. And the same with basketball, you know, a sport like that where there's a lot of passing going on. You know, certain players, it slows down. They see better. Where, like I say, I've seen great hockey players that guys are open and they don't see them. They don't have the hockey sense that there should be someone there and to get your head up and get looking or just see it out of the corner of your eye or something. So, you know, fortunately, I had that. I feel to this day when I go skating, you see guys that aren't nearly as gifted. It's like they got blinders on. They just see straight ahead. They don't know who's around them or anything. And it's funny sometimes, but, you know, you just notice the quality of players that have better vision.
Very, very interesting. And it's that's where the vision is huge because you can't see that the other player wide open so you can get the puck in the net and make that great
that's
pass.
Right.
And that's what's so
yeah.
great about hockey, Bernie, I would say. It's such an unselfish sport. You see sports where, honestly, I'm not knocking LeBron James, but you saw in the NBA Finals last year, he pretty much took the whole team himself on.
Right.
And there was not – you can't do that in hockey. You could have
no.
a game like that, but it's such a team sport that you guys really award assists more than – basketball would ever, and by giving you points and really honoring the players that know how to pass the puck.
Yeah, and I always say that, you know, and I can only really go by hockey because that was my sport, but you see the great teams that they're so deep, you know, they're so close as players. They're not selfish, you know. They have just as much excitement watching someone else score, giving someone else a puck to score, whatever it takes to be successful, you know, that's kind of the mentality that you would have. you have to share the wealth, so to speak. You have to have everybody playing at a high level, but contributing, helping out. You know, with a hockey player, if you're just kind of a puck hog or someone that, you know, like, and I'm not saying LeBron James is a ball hog or whatever,
right.
but, you know,
no.
they
yeah.
cover him. And then what? Who's he going to give the ball to? You know, he's got nobody. So in hockey, if you have that one great player that, you know, he does it all himself, well, you get a good checker or two players, go check this guy, then the game's over. He's got no one to give the puck to, and there's no chance of them being successful.
All right, so basically you started your NHL career with what team did you start with?
LA Kings, 9 years.
LA Kings, okay,
yeah.
9 years. And so Bernie, playing in LA, especially
yeah.
when you talk about Canada compared to LA, it's nothing
yeah.
like it, especially the franchise at that point didn't have, you know, it was before Gretzky. So
right.
I guess you got to say before Gretzky, how was the LA Kings as a fan base compared to now? You know, it's unbelievable how crazy hockey is in LA. But at that time, yeah.
Yeah, like there wasn't San Jose, there wasn't Anaheim, there was just the LA Kings. You know what? In fairness to LA, when I first got there, and you got to remember, my hometown, there may be 75 people in my hometown. I came from maybe the smallest town in Canada to the largest city in the U.S. I went to LA, and you know, you got palm trees. Like, you know, I grew up skating on frozen ponds outside, you know, and then you go and you got palm trees at 70 degrees. So obviously a bit of a culture shock, but I've always said, and like I said, LA had, we had 12,000 dedicated, loyal fans were awesome. Obviously Gretz came, and then, you know, it sold out. Right? It's sold out to this day every night. LA has tremendous sports fans and hockey fans. The LA Kings are sold out. They're sold out every game. They, you know, they have tremendous talent. Obviously, but I mean, still, people pay a lot of money to go to hockey games, but we have great fans in LA and they support it. But getting back to playing, you know, I've always said playing in warm weather. I played in Edmonton in Canada. I remember after a game, the guys would be starting their trucks from the rink and letting it warm up for 20 minutes before you go outside. You know, after a game in L.A., it's 70 degrees, you go outside, it's beautiful, and it's better for your body. So L.A. is a great place to play hockey.
So, again, the story in L.A. is you saw the growth of that organization. How long, when you were drafted by the Kings and started playing for them, the franchise was not that old yet, was it? I'm not really familiar with the L.A. Kings history, the franchise.
No, I think... I'm not sure when they started in the 70s, I think. So they hadn't been around for that long. And, you know, like I said, coming from Canada, you get hockey night in Canada every Saturday night, Toronto
yeah.
Maple Leafs or Montreal
yeah.
Canadiens. Honestly, when I got the call when I was drafted, I had no idea. LA Kings, you know, who's there? I hardly ever seen them play, or maybe I never seen them play. So... But as a player, you're just thrilled to death. You get drafted, doesn't matter where you go. I think as a player, when you get drafted, you hope that the team that drafted you isn't loaded in the position you play, because obviously you want to be able to make the team. And for me, I was fortunate. They had, you know, the great Marcel Dion, and after that,
right.
it was, you know, there was an opportunity for me. So that worked out really well.
Okay, so we basically, you're there with the Kings, and the process, the team starts to get better, and the crowds get bigger. And you did get the chance to play with Gretzky in L.A. then, correct?
I did. I played with Wayne
yeah.
for a year and a half.
So that is when the change of the uniforms and the change of the atmosphere of the Kings, right? Once they acquired Wayne, you're like, wow, we are going to be a great franchise. You already see the
yes.
opportunities of winning. Because before Wayne came, were you guys winning?
Not really. We've made the playoffs most of the time. I think we've only advanced past the first round maybe once or twice. But other than that, we were kind of middle of the road kind of a team.
Okay. Because, again, I'm a hockey fan because of Penguins. I was a huge fan when Gretzky was acquired by the LA Kings. Because at that age, I said to myself, wow, you know, LA, how they were making this team that you never thought could win in hockey, they acquired Gretzky. And, I mean, LA went on fire, but the whole United States was so, NHL fans were going crazy acquiring his jersey once he went to LA. What a change. You think he'd always be an Edmonton Oiler, you know, and then he became a King. And it just kind of just transformed hockey. I think that was one of the biggest moves to build the mainstream by bringing him to L.A.
Oh, no question. You know, and the great thing about the L.A. fans is they got to see Wayne play a lot because he played in Edmonton. That was one of our rivalries. So they watched Wayne. And, you know, the thing about Wayne being traded is Wayne's arguably the greatest hockey player to ever play the game. Like Michael Jordan, Babe Ruth, whatever sport you want to talk about, you wouldn't think that a Michael Jordan would get traded. You wouldn't think the greatest of them all would get traded. Well, it happened, and fortunately for us and fortunately for the L.A. Fans, Wayne came to L.A., and, you know, from then on you get celebrities. It was the hot ticket in L.A., got to come and watch the great one play, and we got a lot of celebrities come out, a lot of fans. The place is sold every night. The old Forum was awesome. So having Wayne come to L.A. was great for hockey. I think it added, you know, two more teams in California. You get San Jose, you get Anaheim. So I think thanks to Wayne, he put hockey on the map in the state of California.
So Wayne's acquired... And you already were playing great. You already broke the team record, correct, in goals before Wayne even was acquired, correct?
I broke that record the year Wayne was there.
Oh, when Wayne was there. Okay. Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm reading Wikipedia. I apologize for that.
Oh, no problem.
Mess up. No. So that's amazing. So how did Wayne make you better? I mean, and then we talk about the rest of your career yet. Phenomenal career. But what was it that... putting Wayne with that team and how things
I think, you know, great players bring the best out of everybody as far as that goes, you know.
Right.
Wayne and I were both centermen, so I didn't necessarily get to play with Wayne on the same line per se, but I got to play with him a lot. We played power play together. We played we killed penalties together. But just having the opportunity to have Wayne there, obviously Wayne's going to get probably the better check in line, the better defensive centerman to check him. So it's going to open it up for me being a second-line centerman. So just having Wayne around is going to add so much. But it's so exciting as a player to have the opportunity to play with him. You know, you want to go out and do your best for him every night as well, too. So it makes it easy.
All right, so it made it easy, and then to be able to do that, and then people are looking at you and saying, holy cow, look at Bernie Nichols. He's dominating as well as Wayne's dominating, and what a team this is becoming. And how far did you guys go the one year before you got traded from the Kings? Was it the best franchise year they did, getting close?
Well, they went farther a few years later, but that year we actually played Edmonton in the first round, and it was awesome because that was the big rival. We just get traded Wayne, so obviously it was hard for Wayne going back into Edmonton, but we're actually down 3-1 and came back and beat them in 7 games, and we won the 7th game in L.A. at the Forum. So that was a really exciting year for everybody.
All right, so... how did you feel? And again, your career, you've done well. You were with the same team when you left the Kings to be traded. How did that, I mean, what was your thought process in that all when that happened? And then to join New York,
you're devastated.
Another big city. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like it doesn't matter where you go. Obviously, going to New York was great, but I mean, getting traded for the first time absolutely sucks. I just actually bought a house in. And I actually went to the owner. I went to Bruce McNall and said, look, because I just signed a big deal after I had my big year. And I said, you know, I want to buy a house. What do you think? Oh, absolutely. He said, I'll never trade you. 3 months later, I get traded. So that didn't go over.
But you ended up with the Rangers, so you got to play in the Garden as a home team. And there's nothing like Madison Square Garden, is it, for hockey?
No. The places I played, going to New York was amazing. Having the opportunity to play in Madison Square Gardens, New York, for the Rangers was great. So if you had to go anywhere, New York was a pretty good place to go.
Definitely. So you went to the furthest in your career with the Rangers then, right? Second round of the playoffs, correct?
The furthest place, well, I went to the semifinals with Chicago twice, Edmonton, after I got traded to New York, Edmonton, and New Jersey. So I've been to the semifinals four times. So that's
But at that point, it was about the same as the Kings. Meaning, so you were a lot of part of playoff hockey, but you never won a Stanley Cup. And how does that feel? And you're, again, Stanley Cup's what you guys dream about in Canada,
that's
right?
That's right. When
to win the cups.
Yeah, you play. That's what you play for. Having the opportunity and not winning it, it was tough, you know. I was fortunate to be one of the coaches with LA when they won it in 2012. I always said it's second best. You know, it was an amazing run, having the opportunity, understanding what players were going through. But saying that, I couldn't imagine how great it would feel to be a player and win it.
So after hockey, you ended up being a coach. What's going on with you right now? Are you still coaching at all, or have you stopped coaching altogether?
I've stopped coaching. I was with the Kings for a couple years. Now I've kind of ventured into another project. We got, I don't know if you know who Zach Ward is. He's used to play Scott Fargus on The Christmas Story.
Yes, he's coming on the show later today. I'm excited about that. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're kind of working right now, change the California Constitution to create a whole new economy in sports. You know, that and by doing that, I think we can benefit a lot of people. I've been through a concussion thing right now, you know, some charity stuff. So I think if we can do this, I think we can benefit a lot, and I think the people will really enjoy it.
So explain that, a new economy in sports. What's that meaning? Explain the whole process, what would happen if this happened in California.
Well, you can go to thesportsvote.com, and it will kind of explain everything, what we're doing, and then...
Who would you say, now, let's talk about your greatest moment with some of these teams. Let's first go with the Kings.
Well, you know... just playing the NHL is a thrill. I think my greatest moment as a King, obviously scoring 70 goals, was as good as it gets. Playing with Wayne Gretzky, you know, having the opportunity to play with Wayne. I only played with him for a year and a half. I said before, I can't imagine playing with him for 10 years. It would just, it'd be amazing.
Playing with Wayne, and you talked about Wayne as making you better, but what about as a teammate in relationship, mentoring, teaching you the game more? Was he that kind of a player as well, as a leader in that way?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Wayne's skills are second to none, obviously. You know, you can learn a lot from just watching Wayne. Wayne wasn't the vocal leader. He kind of more of a leader on the ice, you know, kind of he'd go work hard and every game, you know, you'd learn more from him. He wasn't the kind of rah-rah type in the locker room yelling and screaming. He was quiet. You know, I think other people would kind of lead that way, but Wayne just led by example. And most of your great players, that's the way they are.
Definitely, that's leading by example. Was he a quiet guy, or was he really a vocal guy in the locker room?
No, Wayne was quiet. You know, I always say to people, there's not a bigger thrill. Like, Wayne would come over to me. I don't know what he did to anybody else, you know, just privately. We'd just be getting ready to go. He'd kind of just tap you on the knee pads or something and say, hey, we need you tonight. And it's like, wow, okay, I'm there, you know? So it was really kind of cool.
How about yourself? Were you vocal or quiet?
I could get vocal at times. You know, I think you try to hold everybody accountable. If you're not playing well, not necessarily, you never center anybody out, you know. You kind of make it collectively as a team. But I think the individuals know that, you know what, I can be better. So I have no problem being vocal that way.
Gotcha, gotcha. Another great moment with, let's go with, I guess, what was your greatest moment in hockey next to playing for Wayne?
You know, I think playing in Chicago, playing in New York, I played with some great players, Chris Chelios in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I always said to play with one player my whole career, he would be one guy that you'd love to play with. You know, just a great competitor, worked hard as anybody I've ever seen, both on and off the ice. So, you know, I think a lot of great memories or whatever, it's just opportunity to play with a lot of different people, you know, your teammates, the opportunities of meeting a lot of great people and having great teammates is a lot of fun. Playing in front of, you know, 18,000-20,000 people every night is a thrill. You know, that's a lot of fun.
Definitely. And do you look to ever go back to coaching?
Well, you know what? I absolutely love it. I love helping kids. I love being a part of it. I do a lot of hunting in the fall. We guide. That's kind of a passion of mine. So it's very difficult to ask a team if I can just come from January on. You know, it worked out so well because when I went with the Kings in 2012, when they won the first cup, Daryl Sutter just got hired because they fired their coach. And I'd played for Daryl a couple times. I asked him if I'd come out and help. He said, absolutely. So that year, and then the year after that was the lockout year. So they didn't start again until January. So the coaching for me worked out perfect. I got to coach half a year, both years.
Wow, that's interesting. But you love hunting, so that's hard
yeah.
to give that up, right? It's just something that it gives you peace, Bernie, for sure, with the normal everyday grind of the NHL season, which can be very grinding. It's such a long, long season. How do you want to be
right.
remembered, Bernie, in the NHL? What would you say
you
for
know
your
what?
Career? How do you want to be remembered?
Well, I think people know that I had so much fun playing. I loved the game. I was passionate towards the game. I think if people just think, you know what, it was a guy that he worked hard. He had fun at what he did, but he competed as hard as anybody every night. And, you know, if they think of me that way, then that's kind of the way I would like to have it.
And how do you want the NHL game to continue, especially when we saw last year with lack of scoring? Do you want the NHL to be when you play where it was more wide open, or what is your favorite style of hockey?
Well, you know what? I think the way hockey's going is great. Kids now, they're so big and strong and fast. Scoring's hard. You know, goaltenders nowadays are so good. You know, because the scoring's down, you know, that's all right. That's part of the game. Don't change the nets or make the goalie's equipment smaller. Make it tough to score. It should be tough to score. So I like what they're doing. They added 3-on-3 in overtime. They get shootouts. It's fun. But there's nothing better than a playoff hockey game, even if it's 2-1 or 3-2. You know, most playoff games are low scoring anyway. So to have it, to try to add scoring in the regular season, it shouldn't matter. Leave it the way it is. It should be hard to score. There's still a lot of talented players out there, but goaltenders are just so good right now, and so be it. It should be hard to score, and that's fine.
All right. Well, great. Is there a best place to find information? You talked about what you're doing with the new sports economy. Is there any what website can you go to for information on that?
Yeah, they can go to thesportsvote.com, and they can get all the information. I appreciate you plugging that for me.
Oh, you're welcome, and I look forward to talking to Zach today and find out how you guys connected. When you first met him, thinking about the Christmas story, that you probably thought that was really cool, right? I'm sure you grew
up watching that
movie as well.
That's right.
I mean, when I heard about that, I said, oh, my gosh, the stories are going back to that movie, and to know that you played in that movie, Zach did, and every day forever, it'll be playing for probably – As long as there's television.
That's right.
It's on at everybody's house during Christmas. Everybody's house. It's definite.
So cool.
All right, well, it's cool, Bernie, but I guess especially if you're ever in L.A., you never know who you run into in L.A. because there's actors walking, running around everywhere, right? It's pretty much.
That's right.
You don't know who's the next person you're going to be. Well, best of luck. Do you have a website at all, Bernie, or anything for you?
Well, I'm at Bernie Nichols 9 on Twitter or Facebook, so you can get me there.
All right. Well, Bernie, thanks again. I appreciate you taking the time, and best of luck to you.
You got it. Thank you.
All right, take care. All right.
Bye now.
Okay, guys.